Father God, as we pause on this Christmas Eve day, 2023, we pause to give you praise, to sing to you about you. Father, when a world 2,000 years ago and 2,000 years since is a world that has had so many incredible changes, and yet, oh God, we realize that Christmas is all about the theology and the biology and the doxology of who Christ is. Fathers, we've just listened to this song. It gives not only the Christmas story of the birth of Christ, but it takes us to the cross, takes us to the resurrection, to your coming again someday. Father, this morning as we reflect upon what John had to say, here in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, I pray that you would remind us today of the importance of what Christmas truly is and genuinely is all about. Speak to us today through your word, Holy Spirit, that we might take and apply the truths of Scripture to our hearts and lives. In a very busy, crazy, confused world that we live in, speak to us today, oh God, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. It's great to see all of you here this morning. As Toby was singing that song, I could not help but think about a couple of weeks back, we started a 3-sermon series on Christmas biology, which speaks of the virgin birth and it being central to one of the main things of Christianity, as well as the resurrection. You take away the virgin birth and then you take totally the Christmas story away, because we looked at Christmas biology and bio, the study of life, and we looked at the virgin birth and how paramount that is to Christianity. And so as we come this morning in the book of John chapter 1 verses 14 through 18 in the New International Version translation of the Bible, I want to speak for a few minutes about Christmas theology. Wow, we blinked our eyes and somehow it has become Christmas 2023. How fast the day spin off of the calendar of our lives. There are some things in life that are absolutely factual. There are some things in life that are absolutely true. It should not surprise you and me this morning in a very post, as some people are referring to, a post-Christian world that we live in, it shouldn't surprise us that many people find it hard to believe certain things about the Christ of Christmas that you and I read about, that you and I sing about. For example, take the cross. Toby sang about that a few moments ago in that Christmas song. Many people find it hard to believe that one man dying on a Roman cross atoned for the sins of the entire world. Or take, for example, that many people have a hard time accepting the empty tomb. The resurrection is a stumbling block too high for many in this world to get over, because nobody comes back from the dead. Or take, as I mentioned a few moments ago, that we looked at last Sunday morning, the virgin birth. Nobody has difficulty with the fact that Jesus Christ was born down in Bethlehem some 2,000 years, but the problem that they have is born of a virgin without a human father or any type of artificial insemination. It's a biological impossibility. And so many people find these things very hard to grip and hold on to. The hardest thing to believe with Jesus is not how he got here. or what Jesus did, either when he was alive or after he died, the real difficulty of Jesus himself and who he was is to be able to accept the fact that Jesus is God himself robed in human flesh. Let me tell you, the real stumbling block this morning for many, many people all over the world, the stumbling block of Christianity for those who would accept that, to say that God became man, that's where the Jews, that's where the Muslims, that's where the Unitarians, that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses, and many others draw a line and say, that's a line that I cannot come to. It's a line that I cannot cross. You see, at Christmas time, it's one thing to unwrap Christmas gifts, but it's another thing to unwrap the gift of Christmas. And that first Christmas gift that was ever given was given by God himself. And the greatest gift that was ever given was when God came to this earth as a little baby down in Bethlehem, robed in human flesh. Last Sunday, we looked at the Christmas biology and the virgin birth and all of those things that fell under the heading of the biology of Christmas. But this morning, I want you to know what makes Christmas Christmas and the why of Christmas so understandable is the fact that we celebrate Christmas because of who Jesus was. In our passage for this morning, found in the book of John, I want to read these verses to you. In verses 14 through 18, John, one of Jesus's disciples, John, who was among Peter, James, and John that were in the inner circle of Jesus's disciples, John writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Word, speaking of God, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Verse number 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then John says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Now, John is being as physiologically precise as he can be here about Jesus being God himself, becoming a human in human flesh, and that is what we refer to as the incarnation. The incarnation, it comes from the Latin phrase, the phrase that literally means in fleshing. God became something that he wasn't. The wording is extremely precise here. God, without ceasing to be God, came to this earth as a human being. God became a man. He became the God-man. He became a fetus, born a baby who could not feed himself, who could not care for himself, needed to be changed and taken care of like any other baby. Then a child, a son, a man. He had skin, bones, veins. He had corpuscles and eyes and ears just like you and I do. He got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He wept. He bled. He died. He understood suffering. He was an ordinary being just like us. He was seen. He was heard. He was felt. He was touched. He was fully human, but he was also fully God. He took on humanity, but he didn't lose his divinity. He was 100% divine. He was 100% man. And the Bible tells us that he made his dwelling here in the book of John among us. The Greek word for make your dwelling means to tabernacle or to pitch a tent. Any Jew would have understood what John was saying here because the Old Testament, in that Old Testament period of time, the tabernacle was the place people would go. It was the place where they met God, and they would go there to commune with God. They didn't meet with God face to face because they couldn't. God would be there in what was called a cloud of glory, and that's where they would experience his presence. And so John is saying that God has come down and God has pitched his tent with us. And when you meet Jesus, you're meeting God face to face and flesh meeting flesh. And the greatest way to meet God is through Jesus Christ. God revealed himself in three ways in creation. God revealed his power in the scriptures. God has revealed his principles. But in Jesus, God has revealed his person. And what's so unique about Christmas is not just that Jesus was God, but that in Jesus, God has become a human being. Think of it this way. The impossible is that man can become God. The inconceivable is that God would become man, but the incredible is that Jesus is both God and man when he came to this earth. No other religion in history other than Christianity has ever considered becoming a human being essential in confessing who God really is. You see, that's the part of the Christmas story that we call Christmas theology, theo-God-ology, study of, the study of God as God entered into life with us. Jesus entered into life with us. The Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Secondly, this morning, Jesus existed in eternity before us. Jesus existed in eternity before us. In John chapter 1, verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" You see, John is quoting something that John the Baptist would later say in this chapter in verse 30, and he said it here. And the reason John is saying this here about John the Baptist is because he wants us to understand that this Jesus, though he was born down in Bethlehem, he did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. You see, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist was 3 months older than Jesus. And John the Baptist started his ministry before Jesus started his. And yet John tells us that Jesus existed before he ever was. The phrase that John uses is extremely emphatic here. He doesn't say he was before me. Literally, he said he was first before me. And that's John's existence when he began. John was born. John had his existence, but Jesus existed long before coming as a baby down in Bethlehem. It's important that you and I understand that Jesus was a man and yet he's God. He's already established that for us. He was the Creator God. He's always existed. And the reason that's so important and the reason that John makes that point here is because the only being before anything or anyone is God. Creation did not exist before the Creator. You see, the Creator has always existed before the creation. A painting on a canvas does not exist before the Creator of that painting. With Jesus, you have a person. He's fully God, he's fully man, but he's still in one person, and yet he acts in three different ways: as God the Father, secondly, as God the Son, Jesus Christ, and thirdly, as God the Holy Spirit. That's why the story of Christmas is not just a Son who was born, but a Father who sent the Son and a Spirit who conceived the Son, so that in Jesus we have God who entered into life with us, who existed in eternity long before us, or long before anything ever existed in this life. There's a third thing that John teaches us this morning about Christmas theology, the study of God. Not only did Jesus enter into life with us, God stepping out of heaven's glory to come to this earth, robed in human flesh as a baby. It's really interesting whenever you begin to study and think about what the Jews were looking for, the Messiah that would come someday. They were not looking for a baby down in Bethlehem. That's not what they had in mind. They were looking for someone who would come as a royal person on a white charger who could relieve them from the oppression of the Roman world that they were in. They were not looking for a baby in Bethlehem. Unfortunately, they missed the Christ child to understand that that was God himself robed in human flesh, and the Jews could not accept that at all. They could not accept that Jesus was God in human flesh, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, the one that Toby sang so beautifully about a few moments ago, Alleluia. Thirdly, John expresses God to us. John expresses God to us. John wraps up this neat little old theological present, and he ties a bow on it with these words. Look in verse 18 of John chapter 1. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. John reminds you and me this morning that no one has ever seen God. And obviously, and certainly in those ancient days of thousands of years ago, let me tell you, they would not have disagreed with that statement. You see, if you go back and read ancient literature, you find that people were both fascinated as well as frustrated by the fact that whatever God or gods were out there, they could never be personally known, nor could they be seen. The author, the writer Plato, many years ago said, "Never man and God can ever meet." And of course, every Jew knew what God had said to Moses when he said, "You cannot see the face of God and live." Then comes that little word that John gives us right there in verse 18, "but." Notice that he refers to Jesus as the one and only Son who himself is God. The literal translation is the one unique God. To John, that's Christmas. You see, Jesus is God. He's God the Son, but he has always been God. There never was a time that he was not God, and he has not always been human. It was not until the first Christmas 2,000 years ago that the Word, the incarnation, the Word of God became flesh, and he came to dwell in our midst. Jesus was the God-man. He was all that God was and all that man was. You cannot take God out of man, and you cannot take man out of the God. He was not God with a touch of humanity, nor was he a man with a touch of divinity. He's fully God. He is fully man. when he came to this earth. John goes on to conclude this Jesus has made God known. Notice he says to make him known gives us our English word exegesis. Let me explain something so you understand this. Jesus is the exegesis of God. Jesus wanted to show us what God is like in human flesh. And everything that God is, Jesus is. Everything that God has, Jesus has. Everything that God does, Jesus does. Let me ask you a question. On this Christmas Eve, do you want God? Then come to Jesus. Do you want to know God? Then know Jesus. You see, in Jesus, you don't just see God. You don't just hear God. You don't just feel God. With Jesus, you know God. The first time ever two things are true because of this Christmas Jesus. You can see God and live, and you can know God and you can live forever. Really interesting thing happened. It was the year 1921 on February the 15th in New York City in the operating room of the Kane Summit Hospital. A doctor performed an appendectomy. It's clearly a case of appendicitis. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane is performing this surgery. In his 37 years of medical career, he had performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies. And so it's just another surgery, you would think, except two things made this one completely unique. First of all, Dr. Kane is going to use local anesthesia. He's been a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia. He continues that a local anesthesia is far safer. A lot of his colleagues agreed with him, but they want to see the theory applied, so they need to find a volunteer. That led to the second thing that made this surgery unique. Dr. Kane looked for a volunteer, someone that was willing to undergo surgery under local anesthesia, but yet fully awake, but he couldn't find one. They didn't want to be awake when they were operated on. And so eventually, Dr. Kane found a candidate. It was on Tuesday morning, on February the 15th, 1921. The historic operation took place. The patient was prepped. The patient was wheeled into the operating room. The local anesthetic was applied. And as he has done 1,000 times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissue and removed the appendix of his volunteer. The volunteer was taken into the post-op room, placed in the room, recovers quickly, is out of the hospital in just 2 days. Remember that year. Dr. Kane is elated because he's proven his theory to be correct. Thanks to that brave volunteer, Dr. Kane was able to make medical history. But it was the patient that was the second thing that made this surgery so unique, because the patient just happened to be Dr. Kane himself. He literally, in February of that year, 1921, operated on himself. I don't know about you, but I think that's an incredible story. I think that's an incredible story, and I'm sure Dr. Miller sitting here would think that's an incredible story. I'm sure he's done many, many of these surgeries through the years. But you know, when I read that story this week, I thought to myself, you know, that's an incredible story, but it can't compare to the Christmas story of what you and I experience every day in our lives. To know the Christ of Christmas, and to know that someday we will, for all eternity, be in the presence of the Christ of Christmas, who loved us so much that he was willing to step out of heaven's glory to make a way so that sinful man could be reconciled to a holy God, to atone for our sins through his shed blood. Let me tell you, during this time of the year, many people will unwrap gifts. But But the greatest gift of all was when God chose to come to identify with us so that we might, through his Son, Jesus, identify with him for all eternity. Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Would you stand as we pray together?